This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Welcome to the special episode of the Star Wars in Character podcast. This is the Best of Star Wars in Character Volume 4. Now, in the past, when we've done these Best of episodes, we're usually building up to some kind of big event. But in this case, we're having a little trouble scheduling the four of us to do our regular episodes. So instead of having an unusually long gap of anything to post on the website or on the podcast feed, we've decided to put together this Best of edition. And like last time, I am joined once again by the voice of the Neozaz.com podcast network, Christy.
Hello, everyone.
Now, we didn't make you the full-fledged Star Wars in Character fan we were hoping to in the last Best Of, so we're going to give it another shot.
Okay. All right. You can try.
I'll do my best. Now, before we start, I do have a little bit of explaining for this episode. There's a little bit of a mistake on my part. For some reason, I thought when we had done our last Best Of episode, we had stopped at episode 49. We didn't. We actually stopped at episode 39. So while I was pulling the clips for this episode, I actually started at episode 50. So if you think you may have missed a Best Of edition, or if there's some kind of strange reason that we had skipped episode 40 to 49, there is no reason other than I had messed up. And I hadn't realized this till just before sitting down and getting ready to record. So maybe in the next Best Of, I'll cover 40 to 49, or maybe we'll spread them out over the next few episodes. But anyway, that's that explanation if you actually noticed. Well, let's get on to our clips now. And like last time, I have a set of character flashcards here for you to see if you can first identify any of the characters we're going to talk about. So this one is actually a little tricky. I'm going to give you a hint and say it's not actually four different people. It's two people, the same two people at different stages in their life.
I think I recognize the older couple.
Okay.
I think Luke's aunt and uncle.
Yes. So technically you recognize the couple because, like I just said, it was the same people.
Okay. So, yes. Okay. Yes. Then that is it.
Okay. This is the subject of episode 50. It is Owen and Beru Lars, which is Luke's aunt and uncle. It's one of the few characters that we've talked about that actually spans both trilogies, at least the as far as the main subject. Now, in this clip, we talk a little bit about how they met, or at least how would they have met. Basically, how do single people meet in the desert?
That's a good question.
I hope two of them.
A long thing on how they met, because that to me is going to be the most interesting thing about this whole episode. I want to know how single people meet on Tatooine.
Yes, like, and I do need a nap, so I'd like to hear the story as well.
I got to know how they met. Like, it's like, you know, he introduces her as his girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, this is my girlfriend. Like, it's almost like you expect her to walk out. Like, girlfriend is such like an earth word. Like, it's like you expect her to walk out in his Letterman sweater, like in the thriller. Thriller. Like, I want you to be my girl.
Where like, are they dating? Like, are they going to the cantina and then what?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, where, like, is there school? Like, I want to know everything.
No,
Marsh Moisture Farm University, like MFU, you know, like,
whoa, watch your mouth.
Like, did they meet each other at college? I got to know, Tim.
No, they didn't meet at college or anything. It's actually not, there's not a whole lot to say. They, since they're both moisture farmers, they met in Anchorhead, probably while shopping for moisture farming supplies.
Where's that at?
And that's just how they met. They had a common, you know, a common bond being moisture farmers, and she's a good looking girl. He's a relatively handsome fella.
I like Liam's suggestion. He said they met speed dating, so it's like here's Beru and here's a rock. Okay, those are your choices.
So no, they just met. They just both happened to be in Anchorhead at the same time. They met. There was a mutual attraction, and then they started courting. I will say though that when we first see them in episode 2, when he does say girlfriend, that word does pull me out of the Star Wars story. It doesn't ring well in your ear in a Star Wars
No.
Yeah, story. Well, at least he didn't say this is my best girl Beru or something really archaic like that. That would have been lame.
A main squeeze. Yeah, that word just blows. That is just like such a poor word usage in there because, I mean, it sounds to me like they don't really have a reason for them to meet other than one day they're going to adopt this pain in the ass. Like, I wanted some whole big thing. Like, I wanted some, like, courtship.
Like, no, I mean,
romance, Tim.
It's funny. When I think about moisture farmers, you know what I think about when in terms of courting? You guys have all seen Witness, right? The Amish?
Yeah.
Right.
It kind of feels that way. It's like they probably had a very conservative way of meeting and courting. Like they would probably have family meetups. You know, the Lars and the Whitsons would get together and have dinner, and
yeah,
Owen and Beru would sit across the table and they wouldn't say anything. They just like look up while eating
moisture.
Moisture. Oh. Yeah, the moisture, that freshly picked moisture.
Yeah, it's like an arranged marriage almost.
Yeah, it almost feels that way, but I don't think that's what it is. But I guess due to the fact that there probably aren't a whole lot of people for them to meet,
yeah,
on Tatooine, they like, made the best of it.
Do they meet? Like, where does anyone meet at Tatooine? Like at the cantina? It's like Casablanca. Like, you know, it's supposed to be just like a dive. Like, why would a nice girl like Beru be at the cantina? There's got to be a good reason why they meet. Like they met at the Enchantment Under the Sand dance. But this is disappointing.
Yeah, they just met at an Anchorhead, you know, just on routine trips for supplies, and they came across each other, and that was it.
Mm. All I know is I'm getting a little bit moist about this moisture farmer.
That's what somebody put on the
Yeah, stop stealing material, Chris.
I can't read that fast. Is it like, up there?
Do you feel like that term moisture farming was just a euphemism for like foreplay?
I doubt it.
Oh man. Wow.
You gotta get things going somehow, so you gotta do some grunt work.
Here, watch.
So I probably should have asked before the clip to make sure you were aware, but you do know when we're saying Tatooine, we're talking about the desert planet from the original Star Wars and then throughout the prequel trilogy, right?
Yes, I do have a little bit of knowledge.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So now you've seen all the Star Wars. Do you have any opinion on how people might meet on Tatooine?
I don't know. I would say message in a bottle, but there's no water to gather it there. So, pigeon.
Pigeon. Okay.
Hey, I like her.
Never actually seen any birds now you mentioned it on Tatooine. That'd be a subject we explore.
Sometime. Not like birds. Maybe they're alien birds.
Well, everything is alien from our perspective. Yeah. But anyway, okay. Well, that was our live webcast. That was actually the last live webcast we'd done. And again, that was episode 50. We had done one for episode 25. We kind of gave up on those. We kind of put those aside because they are a lot of work. And honestly, seeing the four of us doesn't really add anything to the show. Which is ironic for me to say, considering I'm doing a simultaneous video show. But anyway.
True.
Yeah. So it ended up being a lot of work and a lot of stress on everyone when it was just easier to do what we usually do. And if it was an anniversary episode, we did something bigger. Like the 75th episode was Christmas special. 100th episode was a big 100th one. So I wouldn't say we've completely abandoned them. If anyone's out there wondering if we're ever going to do one again, we just really have no plans to do them right now. And that's kind of the reason why we haven't done any since 50. Just the amount of work and the return on the work.
And just trying to get the four of your schedules together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's hard enough.
Yeah, like I said. So for all that work, just to see our faces, yeah, probably not worth it for everyone involved, even watching.
I get to see your face all the time.
That's true. And you see those guys at least once a year, so yeah. You're happy.
I meet my quota.
All right. I was about to get in the notes, but I forgot to show you the flashcard. Do you recognize this gentleman?
Sideburns. He looks like he's from the 70s.
You should at least, maybe not know his name, but at least recognize this particular picture, this artwork. This is the same artwork.
Something from Celebration.
Yes, but I was going to say, his name is Boshek, and he was in our obscure character face-off in Celebration 6, and that's actually the artwork we used in it, so I was hoping you'd recognize that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well, he's one of the, Patrons, I guess you'd call them, at the cantina in the original Star Wars.
Okay.
The episode 4, I guess you could call it. So, again, his name is Boshek. This is episode 51. I'll give you a little setup of this clip. Dave was really excited to do this episode. This is a character he wanted to know more about. But the more we had learned, the less excited Dave was. And this clip is pretty much the point where things started to turn south for Dave when talking about Boshek.
Now, this is where we see little known fact here about Boshek is he is actually force sensitive. Had he been born earlier,
I just have visions of Han and Bo sliding across the hood of the Millennium Falcon and going, and now you're going to tell me he's force sensitive.
He is force sensitive. Had he been born a little earlier, he possibly could have gone into the Jedi Order. But he's never been trained in it. So for him, it's always just kind of, he's kind of like little Anakin Skywalker in episode 1, where, you know, he's a good pilot and he's got reflexes and intuition. It's basically because he's got the Force on his side. He doesn't really realize it's the Force.
He's just good at stuff.
But if you ask him to move a rock using only his mind, he'd probably look and say, "You're stupid. I can't do that."
But he can sense things and stuff.
Yeah, he is sensitive, and
ghost.
Yeah, I would like to see a Boshek in the special editions that come out on whatever the next Blu-ray, whatever is better than Blu-ray down the road.
Oh, I want to see. Was that you?
you can get with that guy that put Porkins in at the very end and put Boshek along next to him.
I imagine him having like a very Cockney accent too. He's probably an Englishman.
Oi.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on here?
But he
now this time the Sheck brothers were in a heap of trouble. I don't know what the fuck accent that was, but
it was good though.
Thank you.
He actually sensed a presence in the Force when Luke and Obi-Wan entered the cantina. Obviously, he didn't know what he was sensing. He just sensed something was up.
Yeah, he just smelled something.
He got a little gas.
Yeah.
Yes. But
just stop talking like a couple minutes ago, because this guy was cool. With every word, he's becoming less cool.
So, any thoughts on Boshek from after hearing that clip?
It was kind of sad, because it's sad when somebody's hero gets knocked down. So, sorry, Dave.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I go as far to say he's his hero. He just wanted to know more about him.
I do think that Dave could rock those sideburns, though.
He probably could. he was... my last note is actually something I said before we started the clip, was that he was in our Star Wars Obscure Character Face-Off. I don't remember if he won or not. I don't remember who he even went against. He was in the very first... I think he was the very first round. And I would have to go back and listen to that. Actually, if you're dying to know the answer to that, the audio version of that is on our iTunes feed, and our video version is actually on the same YouTube channel if you're watching the video. So I won't waste anyone's time trying to figure it out when it's right there to find out. So I'm going to take this moment to talk about our Facebook page. We do have a Facebook page for the show. It is facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. And I'd say every day, in fact, it's safe to say every day, even sometimes more than once a day, we are posting something on there or sharing something someone else posted. So if you are enjoying the show, if you're enjoying our sense of humor and just having fun with Star Wars, it continues on our Facebook page every day. So if you're not already a member of that community, search us out. Again, it's facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter. You can also find it by typing in Star Wars in Character in Facebook search page. And just give us a like, and then we'll be in your feed, and you'll see all the great stuff that everyone's posting. We get a lot of great stuff from everybody that's a part of that page. It doesn't just all come from us, and we really enjoy it, and we like to keep the fun side of Star Wars going on that page when we're not doing shows and not releasing episodes.
I would like to say that even though I may not listen to all the podcast episodes, I am a liker of the Facebook.
You are, page. But you don't contribute anything.
Really? Who wants to hear what I have to say?
That's true. Once every 25 episodes is good enough.
Yeah. Because all it would be like is everything talking about the new Star Wars. I'd be like, ooh, shaky camera lens flare. Mm. That's all I would dwell on. So it's probably best that I stay silent.
I'm already covering that part of the...
Yeah.
argument anyway, the discussion. So, yeah. All right. Well, moving on to episode 52. I know you'll know what these are.
Stormtroopers?
Yes, but do you know each one in this picture has a specific name?
The trooper that hit his head.
And that is his name. That's right.
And TK-421.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, so you got the top, you got the middle. Do you know the last one?
Stormtrooper with something round in his hand.
No. Well, yeah, but no, that's not his name. Now, how did you know? You got two of the three names. How did you know those?
I found that out from the Star Wars Christmas special. Oh,
okay. I'll buy that. No, I will buy that because that is true. Yeah, we did the, there was a song about all three of these, in fact, inspired by this episode. Well, the last trooper below here is named Davin Felth, and I only am even going to bother pointing that out because that is the character's clip is about. Now, I mentioned that episode 50 that we started this best of clip was a live episode, mm-hmm. a live webcast, I should say, and we had a trivia challenge with the people listening and the people in the chat room at the time, and we had actually lost, so they got to pick the character we talk about in the next couple episodes, and they actually picked TK-421 alone. And Dave had done the research for this episode, saw that that character didn't have much to talk about, so he added the other two troopers on here. And that's why this episode is about three specific stormtroopers instead of just stormtroopers or just one, in case anyone was wondering. I'm telling you because you're in the room, but I can already see the glaze.
Well, okay, here's my question. Did the episode come before the song or the song come before the episode?
No, the song came after the episode. The song was completely inspired by that, yes.
Dave inspired you to write that song.
In a sense, yes. So anyway, after all that, this clip, we are talking about Davin Felth, but ultimately this clip is really a showcase of Chris's mastery of the Star Wars soundboard.
They bury him on the remote land of Tatooine, so he, you know, will keep his mouth shut or whatever about this, and he just becomes totally disenfranchised. Now he hates military life. He hates the...
I get to see him walking around kicking the dust.
Yeah.
The whole entire planet.
Yeah. Well, this is all in the story. Like I said, like this Doug Beeson's Tales from Mos Eisley. I guess this is where a lot of this stuff came up.
I would have assumed that whole little battalion that he's in was dispatched from the Star Destroyer. I never would have thought that they would have been stationed on Tatooine and then all of a sudden they get called into action.
Yeah, and I think that point's reiterated by the special edition, considering they show a lander taking off like it just dropped them off from the Star Destroyer.
No, they're stationed there. They are absolutely stationed there.
Well, again, that also makes sense because would the Star Destroyer also have a dewback?
Right. Yeah. Oh.
There's all now, sorts of questions.
Did I just change my mind? What happened? I don't know what I'm talking about now. I forget what
there's
side I'm on.
There's all sorts of questions.
I forget what side of the conversation I'm on here.
Yeah. It could go either way. Maybe he was down there, and then they sent additional people down.
I'm starting to love the idea of there being dewbacks on the Star Destroyer, though. And what poor sap has to freaking take care of that room?
All that shit.
Yeah.
So I was always under the impression, and maybe I'm stupid. I was always under the impression that the dewbacks, because we talked about this, the dewbacks were indigenous to Tatooine. So I just assumed they found them there, broke them almost like you would a wild stallion, and used them as transportation.
And
that seems like a lot of work.
And crafted saddles within 7 minutes.
Yeah. Aren't they from
and bridles and everything else?
Didn't we talk about that with the stupid crate dragon and all that stuff? Like, wasn't
I don't know, but if you could ask that question again, I'd appreciate it, because that was fun to listen to.
The dewbacks are, like, from Tatooine, aren't they? Or am I being an idiot?
I always thought they were, like, desert creatures.
Yeah, they're lizards.
Yeah, I don't know if we really discussed them in any detail.
What the hell is that?
That's a dewback!
Oh, my God. All right, well, continuing the saga of Davin Felth. Go ahead.
I quick looked it up. Yes, Dave, according to Wikipedia, the very first line is, dewbacks were large, four-legged, omnivorous, cold-blooded reptiles native to the Dune Sea of Tatooine. That is the very first sentence in their entry.
And they made this sound.
You're not gonna play that again, are you?
No.
We don't get to use the soundboard much anymore. That's mainly because Chris's computer develops some kind of issue with when he's on Skype and tries to run just about anything on the internet. It just nothing seems to work. So.
Which stinks because he should have a soundboard with him at all times.
I know. I've actually taken up the soundboard duties in a sense, but not near as to effectiveness that Chris had. So
he just needs a walking. He needs a soundboard with him at all times. Yes.
Well, if I ever have, I go up there quite a bit every year, but I never have enough time to work on something like that. Maybe next visit. No promises. Hopefully I can do something to help them. Because that's an important part of the show. And I'm stalling because I lost my place in my pictures, but I found it. So here
too bad
it
is. He can't figure out how to put it on his iPod.
Yeah, if he had an iPad, that would help.
iPod.
iPod. Oh, okay, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because I think he's got an iPod.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Anyway, episode 53. Do you know who this character is? I'll give you a hint. She's eventually related to the first picture I showed you.
Well, oh, I remember it from that awful movie. That
narrows it down to half of the saga.
I know. I think the most awful one then Anakin's mom.
She's actually in all three. Now you is she? No, I'm sorry. She's in the first two. So
yeah,
she's in the worst of the three. The first and the second. Yep. This is episode 53, and this is her actual name is Shmi Skywalker. So yes, it is Anakin's mother. And more importantly, I should say, in this episode, and what I put in my notes to lead off is that this is Chris's show hosting debut.
Oh, cool.
And in this clip, we talk about Shmi becoming part of the Lars family. But more importantly, we get to hear Chris deal with some sudden adversities during his hosting duties.
Well, when Kleeg asked for her hand in marriage, Shmi agreed. Touching moment.
I have no choice. Bought me.
Well, she found that she had fallen in love with Kleeg. As it says here, she found out that she has fallen in love with Kleeg as well as Owen.
That's weird.
You know,
talking about a freeway.
Wanted to be a part of their lives.
As his stepmother.
Doesn't say that, dude.
Come on.
Stepmother.
Keep it clean.
Shmi often told her new family how much she missed her son Anakin, telling them stories of his misadventures.
Misadventures?
Yeah.
Silly old Anakin.
I just picture this is when Owen started getting cranky and turned into Owen we knew in the original trilogy. Sitting there, she'd be in the middle of the story, be like, oh my God, would you shut up? Stop talking about that fucking kid. Christ.
I'm your kid now. This is my girlfriend.
And you know what else he used to do on a rainy day? No, and I don't care.
Wow.
What?
That was nice.
Hey, Chris can say the dirtiest things. We just talk about a lady talking too much and he gets all upset.
I'll be honest. I was just trying to distract what page I'm at. All these pages in my hand, I'm like, I skip a page, but I just was just reading stuff. And
you look like a nerd that's gotten his books dumped in the hall.
Now here's a part here that might piss off everybody.
Is it from the Phantom Menace? You got my vote.
Not really.
Oh.
But during her years with the Lars family, you know, loving Kleeg and Owen.
Come on.
She kept a journal where she recorded events almost every day. This journal. Did you just laugh, Dave, over there?
Yeah, the Diary of Shmi Frank.
Is this the Journal of the Wills that we hear about at the beginning of Star Wars? Or the novel?
I don't know. It says this journal would eventually come into possession of her granddaughter, Leia Organa.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from reading from the diary, Leia gained a faint sense of what her father was before becoming Darth Vader and learned to forgive him.
Yeah, he was a
boy. Thoughts about that? Go.
He was a kid. Everyone's story starts that way, except for dogs.
It's not like she was able to talk about him as a Jedi Knight like right before she died. It was all like up until he was 8, and then it was all just pining for him afterwards.
Unless she did a lot of writing in the time that it took for, you know, him to carry. Well, she was already dead. Forget it. I was like, maybe she had a copy of it in that little tent, and she was secretly writing underneath as she was dying in his arm.
I love.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I love who? Say you. I goes. I love.
I love Owen, my new son.
So, what do you think of Chris's hosting there?
Oh, Chris, the master of improv.
I'll actually be hosting some episodes of The Grady soon. We're going to start rotating duties on that. So, and you will as well.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
No.
I didn't think so. Well, you'll be fine.
I'm scared.
You'll be fine. You're going to pick movies that you want to defend. So, I mean, think about that. Well, I don't know if that helped or not, but you'll be fine.
I still feel like I'd stick my foot in my mouth. So.
No. Well, no worse than any of us do on any of the other shows. So keep that in mind. That'll help.
Okay.
Anyway, if you're listening to this on the regular iTunes feed, you might not be aware that there is an accompanying video version of this, and that is on our YouTube channel. It's not so much new, but it's really finally kind of came to life last year. We finally started to post things on there. We've uploaded all of our video footage, basically. In fact, the live webcast we've been talking about several times in this episode, the recording of that is on there, our live webcast of episode 25. We recorded some original content, particularly for Christmas, on that channel as well. And you can find that all at youtube.com/NeoZazz. It's, like I said, it's been around for a bit, but it's really just started to take off at the end of 2013. And it's something we're all, I think, concentrating a little bit more on. So hopefully there'll be a lot more to see there very soon. But right now there's definitely pretty much the entire history of NeoZazz and a majority of it, Star Wars in Character, is there to see right now. All right, moving on to episode 54. Any idea?
The Wolfman.
I was going to say, if you say, just say your initial thought and you're at least close enough. And I'll tell you why. His name is actually Lax Sivrak. But
good
this,
you.
What's up?
God bless you.
Believe it or not, this episode has more connections to you than any of the four of us. And the first off is this character. And that is because this character, at least the Mos Eisley Cantina, he's part of the Mos Eisley Cantina reshoot. And most of the characters, at least this one specifically, were designed by Rick Baker.
Oh!
Right. So you have a closer connection to Rick Baker than any of us on the show.
I love Rick Baker.
And a less direct connection, but still something in relation to you is in this clip. I can't really say much more because it's hard to explain. You'll have to hear it. So we're going to play it now. This is from episode 54 about Lax Sivrak.
For some reason, even though he was the best tracker, the Empire didn't believe that he was reporting all of his findings, and they hired another guy. He found these people, and at that point, they stopped using him. In fact, they really made him a wanted man, not a wanted man, a wanted wolf. And they froze his accounts. They sent stormtroopers after he was having to blast stormtroopers. I mean, he became like a wanted man, like a fugitive. And found himself in Mos Eisley, and that's where he spent the next several years, like in hiding, like staying away from everybody. Okay. And even to make things even more mysterious about himself, he dropped his first name and only went by Sivrak.
That, whoa. Really throws people off, huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's almost
the dog version of Skywalker, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. You just drop the name, you know?
Done.
Yeah.
Are you Lax Sivrak by chance? No, Earl. Oh, okay. Never mind.
So he was kind of like a wallflower at Mos Eisley. He just kind of sat there, didn't talk to too many people because he was laying low. And he became very mysterious and was given the nickname The Wolfman.
Where did I get that from?
I don't know.
Late night radio DJ, possibly?
Yeah. Wolfman Sivrak.
Is there a part where he's on top of a red doghouse?
Oh, God.
Or riding on top of a van through the streets of a small suburban. Yeah.
You? Playing basketball.
Yeah. I was going to ask Mark if he knows Teen Wolf.
Oh, come on, please.
Yeah, of course I did. Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what happens at the end of Teen Wolf, Mark?
Should I really say?
did you ever see this horrible scene at the end of Teen Wolf? Where the guy in the background pulls his junk out of his pants.
You know, I saw Teen Wolf back when I was about 13 or 14.
Okay.
We'll wait. Go get it.
Yeah. I thought he wasn't looking that far back. So.
Well, not that this has to do with Lex Ivrek, but no. This is a public service announcement to anyone who's listening. Go get yourself a copy of Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
Because in the final scene after he makes the shot and they're all celebrating in the... In
what's
the,
that song? You know, what you always sing.
Well, shit, how's it going?
I know. It's
yeah. All right. Anyway, you got to go see this because they're celebrating, hugging, kissing. And Chris, what is going on in the bleachers in the background?
There is a guy who has his hot dog.
Hot dog.
His Lex Ivrek hanging out for like 2-3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he puts it back in.
He does.
I'm just looking at the notes here about some of this history, and I'm noticing that he was asked to help look for somebody called the Alpha Premier Quarter Sack. Maybe this guy pulled his quarter sack out. Maybe, I don't know. Since we're giving appropriate names to things.
That is good.
Yeah.
But then there was rumors that it's not even a guy, which is a bunch of shit.
No, that happened.
See, yeah.
That happened.
Jury's still out on that. I've seen the scene, and I cannot say one way or another if it is definitely a unit being yanked from those pants.
I think Tim watched it like 400 times in real slow motion, paused it, got some tissues, came back.
Oh.
Zoom, enhance.
So that was a discussion we had at length when we covered Teen Wolf on the Greaties.
Length.
Yeah. Yeah, no pun intended.
No. So, it was there. We stopped it, watched it. It was there.
Now, we're sitting here listening to clips of Stars and Character, and you genuinely laughed this time.
You people are funny.
Well, okay, I'll take that compliment, but I think a more direct observation is because this clip had nothing to do with Star Wars.
Exactly.
Right, so. So there's actually a lot of that in this. There's more of that in the show than you might realize, so you should give it a third or fourth or 17th chance, whatever we're up to now.
Okay. All right. Figure it 42.
Well, we should continue the discussion off air or off mic, but I did want to mention the additional voice that you probably heard there, particularly because of the accident, was Mark Newbold, and he is the co-owner and content manager of JediNews.co.uk, and that is the UK's biggest go-to Star Wars news site. It's like the force.net for
the
United Kingdom.
Across the pond.
Yes, yeah. So he was obviously a guest on the show, a big supporter of the show, and a big supporter for pushing the Artmore project this year.
Cool.
So yeah, anytime we got something we want to get out there, Mark usually doesn't, in fact, ever hesitate to help us out. So
thank you, Mark.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Mark. All right, episode 55. I seriously doubt you know who this is, even though it's one of the few featured females in any of the saga. And I use featured loosely because she's not Leia or Padme, so.
Was she
memorable females, maybe?
Was she in the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation tour?
I wouldn't be able to answer that even if she was. I have no idea.
She looks like she's in the Rhythm Nation tour.
Okay. So you don't know who this is.
Dating myself there. Yes.
It is her name is Zam Wiesel or Zam Wessel. We're still not sure after all this time.
Oh, and if she's on Star Trek, she could be the Zam Wessel.
Okay.
Wessel or Wessel.
Yeah Wessel. That is the joke. You're pretty much just repeating the joke.
Crap.
And actually you're making it a non-joke now.
Damn
anyway,
it.
Okay. I don't have who she is. I'll tell you real quick. She is a bounty hunter from Attack of the Clones. Do you remember? At best, you might remember the race through the city where you got like the cross traffic in the air. Kind of looks like Back to the Future on steroids.
Yeah, okay, yes.
She is who they're chasing.
Okay.
Okay. You kind of have a vague memory of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, episode 55, this was her focus. But in this clip, and as often happens with these minor characters, we end up talking a lot more about the main characters who have interaction with them because there's usually more to talk about. And in this clip, we kind of talk about mostly about Obi-Wan Kenobi post his interaction with this character.
Okay.
But in here, this is where Obi-Wan, I guess... I don't know if this is the first limb he ever cuts off, but he cuts her arm off when she's sneaking up behind him and shoot him.
Oh, he did?
And then you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Missed that.
It wasn't very clear. And the way that they, I think the way they did it, just to save like $10 on special effects, is I think they just had her or tuck her arm into something like Napoleon style.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
to make you think that she lost an arm.
Yeah. If you slow it down, though, he cuts her and her hand with the gun in it goes.
Is this inside the Outlander Club?
Yeah.
Well, that makes me even more angry because now we are just seeing a direct copy of something iconic that he's just going to the well again and just putting a fresh coat of paint on it.
And you know what's weird doing all this? I actually read some kind of weird fact that in all these movies with the arms or hands get cut off, it's the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Walrus Man, her, Luke and Vader, they all have the right, supposedly the right one.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
Well, this builds into to Obi-Wan's MO, at least, if you're going to take it into what Matt said and Ponda Baba. And many, many years later, as an old man, he's still cutting people's arms off in bars.
What if it was like his like mother or somebody complaining to him, Obi, tapped him. He's like, just turns around and swings at you.
He knew it was her.
I can sense it.
It's a non-lethal.
I saw the tape on his beard during that scene.
That beard, somebody mentioned it on our Facebook page. That his beard and hair through the whole movie are the worst. But there's that when they go into the bar, like before they go in, Anakin's ready to storm in and
hold his lightsaber.
Like, he's like, patience. He's like, stop losing this, you tool bag.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's your life.
Yeah. The beard, it looks like they just put glue on his face and somebody like threw a handful of hair at his face.
It's like there's like that Will Ferrell SNL beard that he wears. What's that skit he does? Yeah, where he sings a song on the piano.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Rock Lobster.
Yeah.
That is the worst at any That's point I think beard. that beard is in the movie when he's like, this is your life.
I'm
just looking at nothing but that pubic hair on his
Wasn't there a Jackass where they glued pubic hair to someone's face?
Yes, there was. That was in Jackass. That was the finale of Jackass 2. Yep. Yep. They tried to make the guy look like a terrorist. Yeah.
That's probably where they got the inspiration, I think.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, he cuts her arm off.
Yeah.
And then you're right. They just don't show her arm when she's dying out there.
So, any comments on the beard from a fashionista? All right. That's a
fashionista.
I was going to say woman's point of view, and then that sounded too general, and then I said, and fashionista slipped out, and I realized that was an incredible...
In your opinion, as a chick who wears clothes.
Yeah, exactly, because, yeah.
I know what a fashionista is,
and as I said it, I was like, wow, that's the wrong word. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
All right,
no offense to actual fashionistas.
Any comments on the beard from a chick's point of view? How's that? Is that better?
Oh, God.
Hey, baby, what you think of his beard?
Hey,
toots.
Bird.
There you go, toots. What do you think of his beard, toots?
Really? It does make me want more cowbell.
I think he was talking about he played the older couple with I don't remember the other woman's name.
Anna Gasteyer.
Was it? Okay. He had the Captain and Tennille jacket, but I don't know that it was a sailor's jacket, but I kind of remember him maybe because he played the piano and he was of that age or supposed to be that age. I don't know, but I think that's someone he was referring to. Not that it matters.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that was the halfway point of our clip. So,
sorry.
As we've done, and thank you. In the past three best of, we like to present a best of, a behind the scenes clip. And this clip, now this clip has been on YouTube, but not many people actually know about our YouTube channel, and not many people have seen this clip because I actually looked at the numbers. So I thought it was worth sharing in this. And it also is something that works just as well as audio. So I know a majority of the people are going to be hearing this on the audio version only. So that was another decision to use this. So for the few people that have seen this on YouTube already, apologies that it's a repeat behind the scenes, but I think it's worth listening to again. I'm going to set it up. 2013, our Christmas Spectacular was far and away our biggest production that we've done yet. And what people may not know is that I actually traveled to Pennsylvania and to Tennessee at the end of October to record those. And that gave me the rest of the year to to edit it, produce it, and mix the songs, all that, whatever else you want to say is goes into, you know,
a lot of done. Cursing and sweating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a whole, that could be a whole behind the scenes episode of itself. But anyway, one of the big things that we did in this particular special was the ending prequel medley. And Chris had volunteered to sing the parody for Up on the Rooftop. And if you've heard the special, you know that's he did not sing that in the special. And this clip explains why. So what should have been a simple 4 or 5 song line for Chris ended up not being so simple.
Out on Camino OB lands, pull his hood up with his hands.
What's wrong with that? Is that wrong? Again, you're changing the whole tune of the song.
How am I doing that?
The first line was great, and then you start singing a totally different song. Pulls his hood up with his hands.
Is that how it kind of beat again.
You, first line is this song, second line, some other song. I don't even know what it is.
Out on Camino, Obi lands,
pulls his hood up with his hands.
That's how it goes?
Oh! That's what you're doing. Go ahead and say it. Every time you've done it, you're like,
out
what?
On Camino, what? Obi lands, like this. Pull his hood up with his hands. How's the song go then?
You did it right before. I know this song, and you sang it right, but then when you go to record it, you change the whole thing.
Play the beat again.
The beat or that? Because I have the actual song here.
Yes!
All right, here's the actual, lyrics. You know what he's going to say. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I said!
Out on Camino. That's what I did! Pull his hood up with his hands!
That's the...
That was the same thing I said! Pull his... There's no beat there in the second verse.
It's not the... I don't even know how to describe it. It's not the...
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Have like Dave here. Can Dave hear?
I know the song. Listen, the first two notes are dun, 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 and it goes down.
Pull his hood.
Not that low. But you're going dun, 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 and he's going dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Pull his hood up with his hands.
That's not it either.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws. Out jumps good old Santa Claus.
Pull his hood up with his hands.
Yeah, that's good. That's better.
Now watch what you actually do.
Oh, I'm a fucko. Pull his hood. Is that how the last line goes too?
Again.
Matt?
Huh?
The flies around with the backpack jet. Is it the same? Is that going to fuck up that verse? Is it the same way the other verse is?
No. I thought you knew this song, you said.
I've heard
of it. Uh-oh, it's Django. Uh-oh, it's Django. Flies around with a backpack jet.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, you know that. That part you know. We'll see what you sing, but you know it.
You know it now. We'll see that in 11
seconds. With his hands. Out on Camino, Obi lands, pull his hood up with his hands. Is that good? That was good. Was that good? How is that not good?
That wasn't it at all.
How is none of that good? What am I doing wrong? Tell what's going on? What was wrong with that?
Nothing.
Was it? Was it good? Pull his hood up with his hands. Is that good?
And then at the end, it... Da, da.
It sounds like he's doing... Pulls do up with his... Da, 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 or something like that.
Wrong.
Out on Camino, Obi lands, pulls his hood up with his hands.
That's what I was doing! You said it was fucking wrong!
Goddamn wrong.
I did that! Pull his hood up with his hands. That's what you just said!
It ends and starts on the same note.
Pull his hood up with his hands.
Yes!
Yes.
No!
Yes! I'll do it to the music.
You're right. So, around then. Oh, this is going to be the fucking second fucking line. out on Camino Obi lands, pull his hood up with his hands.
Oh my god!
I got pee. Maybe that's your problem.
Pull his hood up. I can't do this one.
Now, I know you've seen that before because you were the very first person to see that apart from me and Dave.
I saw it the minute you landed and got it home.
I didn't even show you anything else that was special. None of Dave's spectacular singing, none of the whatever, just the footage of around town, of anything of Nashville. I didn't show you any of that. I went right to this clip and showed
you that.
Honestly,
if I could figure out how to make it your ringtone... I would have it do that.
I've seen that 1,000 times. Maybe 1,000 is an exaggeration. It's pushing 100 times. I've probably seen that between editing it and putting it in this, and I still
you just
laugh.
Watch it for fun.
I still laugh. We just showed my parents were just here a month ago, and we showed that to them and laughed again. So anyway, I could go on and on and on and on. So we actually shot a lot of footage that weekend, and we hope to integrate it in a new retrospective special like we did for the last Christmas special. I will admit that, unfortunately, that is the funniest thing from that footage. So it's kind of, if we don't do that special, at least this is now for the world to see, because the world needs to see Chris sing that song. Anyway, yes. See, I got to stop. I can keep going and going. Let's go to episode 56 and see if you can figure out who this, or even, you're not going to figure it out if you don't know it. So do you know who this is?
Oh, he's back there. I think we have a figure.
He is. He's in. He's on the top next to the Simpsons can. He is. He is. The vintage figure is up there. I didn't even know that for sure. I thought I had that. You know what? I was looking for that when we did this episode. And there
should
it was.
I grab him?
No, don't worry about it. Okay. Everyone knows what it looks like at this point.
Yeah.
His name is 21B, and he is originally the medical droid from The Empire Strikes Back, but then he makes another... I was going to say cameo. I guess the prop makes an appearance in Revenge of the Sith. And I said medical droid. That was his career, this character's career in the saga. But he had another job, or at least this type of robot had another job in the Clone Wars. And this one I'm looking forward to you hearing to get your reaction on. So we'll play this clip from episode 56 about 21B.
Well, it didn't even end that scene, and just the way he says that, like, it's almost like he has a relationship with Luke. Like, he's so congenial. Like, he has a bedside manner.
He does.
Like a doctor would have. And that's good. You know, like these other droids, maybe that takes away from the thing about the limb cutting off. Like, he's got emotions. Like, I'm always confused about these droids on whether they're feeling things or programmed to feel things or whatever. But, you know, he has, like, a nice little moment with Luke. And
he does.
Talks to him like he's his buddy.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that he knows how long it would take to evacuate. You know, you'd think if he's a medical droid that his the limit of his knowledge would be medical and not, you know, the time that it takes to evacuate for military, you know, maneuvers and things of that sort.
Yeah.
No, interesting.
I always thought until this time I learned stuff that I mean it's not important stuff.
That's for damn sure.
That's right. In watching this for this episode, I always thought it was 21B that sticks that little plug on the back of the tank.
Yeah, who's that?
It's FX7.
FX7.
Yeah. Ugh, it ruins my whole vision of the movie now.
Why does 21B need help from FX7 if he's so darn smart?
That's a good question.
I mean,
FX7's got 7 extra limbs.
FX7 is the nurse helping the doctor.
Yeah. Why don't they get another 21B?
Yeah. They can afford it.
Well, there was in Revenge of the Sith, it took 2 21Bs to make the famous version of Darth Vader as we know after Anakin was burned. I think there's 2 21Bs.
The ones that get crushed at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of different other medical droids there too that to me don't have names. I mean, there ended up being a lot of medical droids by the time all 6 of these movies.
Doctor. Doctor.
In terms of the character, that's all I got. Some behind the scenes stuff. I know on the Clone Wars, they make great use of the 21B model that they've made, because he shows up in as a chef. He shows up in all sorts of different roles. Yeah.
Stir whip, stir whip, whip whip, stir beat.
there was one, and I think it was the guy who's the main guy on Ace of Cakes. does the voice of a baker.
Oh, come on.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
God.
I kid you not. But they
could
they
you
show,
be kidding me, please? Voice. Lie to me. I don't care. I won't watch and find out.
No, it's only medical. He's operating on that cake.
So I wanted you to hear that, and I wanted to see your reaction, because you're a pretty good Duff Goldman fan. I don't know.
I love Ace of Cakes.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know if big saying you're a big fan is the right word, but I guess it is. And Ace of Cakes, is it you always root for them when they have those cooking cake challenges there. So I wanted to see your reaction. What'd you think of hearing that?
I'll never think of it the same. Because now I'm going to see him with his little tattoo of his whip, of his spoon or whipping thing on his.
It's a whisk, arm. I think, isn't it?
Or whisk, yeah.
So, does that make you even want to see this episode? Just this episode of Clone Wars, maybe?
No.
Okay. Well, me neither. That's the interesting part. No, not interesting, but that's I agree with you.
Interesting
as
even bad.
I was reading ahead on my notes, and words just spewed out of my mouth. I didn't even really listen to what you were saying, honestly.
Story of my life.
I mentioned the YouTube channel in our last little plug segment, and on that channel is something we started called the NeoZaz Update Show. It is one of the things we do on all our shows, or just about all our shows, is we pre-record a block of them. And in this NeoZaz Update Show, I kind of talk about what we have done, what we have ready to come out, and some little, little bits of information to look forward to kind of tease the episodes and tell you anything else that we got going on, like our virtual 5K series. We just announced that we will be doing another Artmar project. But more importantly, there's a new addition to that show called Chris's Micro Movie Reviews.
Oh, funny as hell.
Which in and of themselves is enough to check out this series. This series is in our main NeoZaz feed, but it's probably much easier to just jump on our YouTube channel again, which is youtube.com/NeoZaz, and look for the NeoZaz Update Show and check those out. Okay, we are up to episode 57, and my hopes that you would know this character are nil.
She has chopsticks in her hair.
She has chopsticks. She does.
Have a rice bowl on her head,
no.
too?
No. And those are arguably, we never even thought to think that maybe those are little tiny lightsabers until now. Because she is a Jedi. She is a Jedi. I don't know if you can tell that from this. Even though she has a funky robe.
No.
Okay, here, I'm not going to prolong it anymore. Her name is Jocasta Nu, and she is a librarian that we see in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay,
in this short, we have a short clip from that episode. We actually touch quite a few subjects in this short clip. We talk about her death. We talk about her interaction with Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then to top everything off, Dave probably tells the best joke he's ever made in all the years I've known him. So let's hear that in this clip from episode 57 about Jocasta Nu.
Now we're coming to the end of her story here. And this is where it gets interesting. She Jocasta Nu was in the temple and in the archives when Anakin invaded the temple. And
I heard she was between the CIs and the CIRs.
Is there a significance to those letters, or did you just randomly pick some? Damn it. I was waiting for the phone.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there trying to figure it out and said, I have nothing. I need to know what he's talking about.
Figure that. But that's what it says here.
Huh.
But she was there, and in walks Anakin into the library.
And?
And she was killed in a pretty brutal manner. Ooh. What Anakin does is he uses his force powers, lifts her up, and then pulls her towards him and impales her on his lightsaber.
All right.
Yeah. So she goes down. She goes down hard. And yeah, so Anakin killed her himself. And you actually see this in the Revenge of the Sith video game. I think it's a cutscene.
Oh, wow. I heard this.
In the video game, really? where Anakin walks in there and lifts her up and kills her.
I thought you were going to say he takes a book from one shelf with the Force, a book with another book with the Force from the shelf, and right on her head.
I would have preferred that. I think that would have been pretty awesome.
I got a question for you. What's Jocasta Nu taste like? Depends.
Dave, you have no right to say anything else the rest of the recording about anything I've ever said.
That's okay.
Okay, then. We've reached a record.
But do they ever explain? I'm glad that she dies, actually, because nobody has the right to treat Obi-Wan like that, even if he does have bad facial hair.
Yeah, right.
But do they explain her look? Because why? I mean, a lot of the things in the prequels seem to be influenced by Japanese culture or look. Like, she's got the, why does every librarian have to have their hair with a bun and those sticks going through them? But she looks very Japanese. Is that ever explained anywhere?
That says you don't get your hair caught in a book.
It does talk about her, her visual style in terms of why she chose to not dress like a regular Jedi. And I actually did not write it down. It was, she chose to dress in the style of something in the start of a letter A, and there were these symbols of some alien culture that's those symbols on her shawl, I guess, do mean something. But I wasn't under the impression that anybody's going to ask questions about it, so I actually didn't look it up to get that answer.
I need to know everything about this old.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that, Tim. That's okay.
When Obi-Wan and Yoda come into the temple and they fight their way in, I would assume that they probably come across her body because they got to go right there into the archive. So I'm sure they gazed upon her stiffened corpse.
Whoa.
There on the floor of the library. And
hello.
This was after Obi-Wan was already at Kamino that he comes back and finds her dead. Do you think he kicks her body?
Just out of spite?
He's like, that's what you get.
He was probably so excited. I can't wait to get back to the library and tell that old coot what I found. Oh, God damn it. That was my Ewan McGregor impression, everybody.
I would like to use this to serve as a public notice to Dave. Dave, you are officially slightly becoming Chris.
Well, that was more of a pun than a dirty joke, though. Wasn't it? When you say a play on word, well, that's what a pun is, so.
Yeah, but yeah.
All right. Anywho, let's move on. We're on episode 58, and this is a thing more than a... this.
Looks like a walking garbage can.
Well, it is. Those are legs that, you know, do the forward looking motion. So uh-huh. Your description's accurate. Of course, you're looking at a picture. So
yeah,
it's also saying that background is purple. That background is purple.
That background is purple.
No idea, right?
Not
is enough. It is called, well, its official name after all these years is a Gonk droid, a GNK droid, but it was always a power droid. When the four of us were growing up, even Tim was in the age that it was a power droid, and he's the youngest of us all. So this clip from episode 58, it features something we talk a lot about on the show, action figures, and more specifically in this episode, vintage action figures, because while Chris and Tim still collect them, Dave, I think, gets some from time to time. He has a 10-year, you know, his son, so he buys them for him at least, and I don't know when the last time I bought one was. So, So when we talk about all four of us talking about action figures, it's almost always about vintage action figures. So, in this clip, we start off a little bit about action figure talk, and then we actually move into some theoretical engineering and mechanics of the Star Wars galaxy. So, here is that from episode 58 about the Gonk droid.
Well, as far as when you see them in the movie, like Chris said, it's several times. The most notable time is in episode 4 when we all saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, the one that we assumed is the power droid, the action figure that we're going to talk about later as well, it's in the Sandcrawler when 3PO and R2 are kind of getting their bearings right before they are sold. And you see it, and it you know, the sound effect that Chris has been playing, and the doors open as the Jawa are coming in to get everybody ready for the sale, and it actually turns and runs away.
Yeah, that's right, it does.
Which is hilarious. But there are 7 droids for sale at the Lars homestead that day, none of which are a power droid. And the reason why is because they already have one. In the scene where Beru is telling Luke, you know, Luke, you know, tells him about the Bocce. When she's standing down in their living room or whatever the hell that is, there's a power droid walking behind her, and it's blue, and it looks very much like the action figure that we had as children.
Now, I was going to bring this up when we started talking about the action figure, because that looks like I don't know if it's the same design as the Gonk droid, as I'm looking here on the thing. That actually looks like almost like a completely different design. It looks closer to what the action figure looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
That one had the European standard inputs on it.
It's difficult to see because it's walking behind that little spire. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a good look at it. but it looks very different than the other ones that we see throughout.
Yeah. Well, you figure they're out in the middle of the sand. They have to have these things. I mean, they're almost necessary.
Right.
To the Star Wars universe. Like at Hoth, you know, there's not just like cable running through everywhere and electricity and on Tatooine. They're everywhere and they serve a purpose.
Well, I don't know. You think a planet with two suns would have mastered solar power at this point?
Never thought about
that. But don't
these
things need to be charged, you think? Like, do they have to go somewhere and get charged up?
Those legs are corduroy, so they create static. That's why they're always walking around.
Yeah. Well, maybe the power droid themselves are solar powered and they're constantly recharging.
Could be. Yeah, instead of that, actually, that's a good bridge between all these theories, because then you don't have to run the cables, like Dave said. However, you are taking advantage of having twin suns.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you need a large amount of power quickly, that's, well, large amount of power fast enough for these guys to walk to it.
Faster than stringing 700 extension cores together.
Take your time.
Yeah, maybe that's really where these guys come in handy, is they can release more power in a short period of time than a solar panel can pull together in that same amount of time.
That sounds good. Are we right, Dave?
You know what? You guys have put far more interest than anybody else has, because there is no backstory as far as, like, you know, their purposes. They're basically, like Tim said, they're walking generators.
So speaking of droids, it's just going to be an odd segue until you learn who this is.
It looks like the bass player from Queen.
That's another one I'll have to take your word for. Trust Do you have any idea who this is?
Not.
I'll tell you this. You've seen his other character a lot. Okay. This is Anthony Daniels. It's a gentleman that plays C-3PO.
Oh!
But for, again, Attack of the Clones, a lot of Attack of the Clones in this best of segment, our edition. He played a non-made-up character called Daniel Fatone. No E in Daniel. So it is, this is, what is this now? Oh, okay. There's another, this is another not so much about the character. Again, he makes a brief appearance. I don't know if you remember the sports bar type thing. It's actually, if you go back to Zam Weasel, it's the start of her scene that we talked about, that chase scene. But anyway, I digress. So, but this clip doesn't talk so much about the character as it talks about Anthony Daniels, which leads to probably the first real discussion we had about how creepy Tim's detailed memories of Chris's life in general is. So here's that from episode 59 about Daniel Fatone.
Now, you guys have met him probably several times, right?
I've seen him a lot of times, but I met him once for an autograph.
What was he like? Because that's a
really nice guy.
You've met him three times, pal.
Three times?
Jesus Christ, Tim, you like, just these details you know about Chris's life is like almost frightening. It's very stalkerish at this point. I mean, I've kind of not said anything until now, but that now you got like a little upset that he got the number of how many times he met Anthony Daniels wrong. It's now bordered on the creepy.
I know I was there for two of them. I can actually tell you where all of them were.
Good, I'm listening.
Okay, the first one, I wasn't there. It was at...
weren't there. That's where it gets creepy.
that's the one that I remember. That's the one I went all the way down to Georgia for.
Yeah, to Dragon Con in Atlanta. Yeah. And then, you brought my poster, and you got my trilogy and my episode one poster signed.
I'm just laughing. You drove all the way to Georgia to meet...
Well, we had Kel had family out there, too.
Oh, come on.
How much time did you spend with Kel's family as opposed to chasing down Star Wars autographs?
When I slept and shit and piss.
There you go.
If he hadn't been there, would you to this day have seen this said family member?
Right. That's like saying you came to Orlando to see me at Celebration 5.
I did. It just so happened that same week.
No, you came to stay at my house at Celebration 5. It didn't even matter if I was here or not.
I needed somewhere to sleep, shit, and piss. Mm.
You're allowed to do two of those three the next visit. You have to choose which two.
Oh, I gotta shit.
So when you meet these guys, that's what I'm most interested in, because to me these guys,
well, I want to, like, hear about the other two stories. Two times I met him.
Well, he's nobody to me. Like, he's
for real.
like, you know, he's big in this, but what's he ever done other than Star Wars? I'm sure he's been in things here and there, but whatever career he has is because...
Oh, come on, man. He's done Star Wars. He's done Star Wars The Clone Wars. He's done Star Tours. He's done Star Wars Weekends, and he's done Star Wars Celebrations. Come on, dude. He's, like, versatile.
Yeah.
He's his very own cottage industry.
He's been interviewed by Star Wars Insider. He's hosted Star Wars in concert. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he owes everything to me to fans. Like, that would want to pay for him to sign his stupid name on a picture. Like, so these guys, to me, have the obligation to at least be cordial when you meet
him. He is cordial. He's nice. We saw him, and he gave my daughter Kayla a free autograph because she was cute.
Okay.
And I thought that was really nice of him because I think he was charging, I don't know, $40 or something for it.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, and Tim, I'm trying to think of the two times.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that was the third time when he gave Caitlin the autograph.
Tim, you are creeping me the hell out, dude. Holy Christ. You know Chris, and you've met Tim. I think you know Tim well enough to answer this question. I mean, my question is hearing that creep you out at all, knowing those two?
It makes me wonder if Tim might have a little journal.
I know, right?
Chris went to the left. Chris went to the right. Chris visited the restroom at 4:23 p.m.
I'm not lying when I say that is the example. That is an example because it happens a lot.
I have to say, though, Tim is going to be Chris's best alibi.
That's true.
Because he was like, no, because he was at the sports bar at 4:27 a.m.
That's true.
He's a perfect alibi.
Oh, anyway, I don't even want to. That's there's a lot of sub discussions we could have on sub episodes, and I'm not going to go there. Yeah. But we have one more clip to do. But before we do that, as anyone that listens to the show, i.e., anyone listening to this except you, knows that we do a trivia segment. So I've dug out the old Obsessed with Star Wars book again. Before we do our last bit here, we're going to do a couple questions for each other, okay?
Okay.
All right. I will start. I will give you let me clear out the last question. Let me hit the randomizer so it's fair. All right. That sucks. Says 527. This goes in numerical order. So this is going to be, there's no way this can't be from the prequels. 527. It is. It's from Attack of the Clones. Yay. It's an all Attack of the Clones episode on this best of. All right. What is Shaak T's homeworld? Is it A, Ryloth, B, Shili, C, Ancien, or D, Rodea?
A.
You know what? I think that's right. Oh, it's not. I'm sorry. It is B, Shili. I thought it was Ryloth, too. Huh. I mean, I think that's what Tim actually reported in our episode, but I could be wrong. Oh, things just went from bad to worse. It's 412, which means it's definitely in the prequels. It may even be Phantom Menace. And it is.
Oh.
All right, you ready? Oh, yeah. God. Good luck. Just give me, say A, B, or C, or D now.
D.
Okay. Who portrayed Kitster? A, Hassani Shapi. B, Silas Carson. C, Dhruv Chanchani. D, Clarence Smith.
Oh, I'll A. Give,
it's A?
A.
You think so?
I'm guessing.
You sure?
Yeah.
What would you say if you were in summer school?
C.
C. Okay.
Okay, C. Oh!
Hey, you got it right. It was C.
Thanks for the hint. Thanks for the hint.
I laughed. I actually laughed. I got a kick out of the question because I had just listened to that episode on my last run, and it ended at the behind the scene. My run ended at the behind the scenes, and I just heard the character's name. So, or the actor's name. Sorry,
1336. Damn,
that
it
might be.
That's New
Hope.
Hope.
Oh, it is. Okay, good.
Damn it. 1336. What rebel commander was formerly the Cerulean sector commander? Was it A, Commander Skywalker? B, Commander Trixie? T-R-I-X-E?
Could be.
C, Commander Willard, or D, Commander Warlon?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go with B, the one you couldn't say.
Probably going to hit it twice. No?
Okay. No, it was C, Commander Willard.
Of course. Okay. Well, you're winning.
What happened? 446. Wah, wah, sorry.
That's okay. I love the Phantom Menace. I probably know this answer. Is that Phantom Menace?
Yes.
Yay.
No, Attack of the Clones.
Oh, even better. Good. We can't possibly finish this episode without talking about Attack of the Clones again.
When on Kamino.
Out on Kamino.
Okay. How did Obi-Wan ask R4 to contact the Jedi Council? A.
It'd be funny if it was. What is.
Scramble code 5 to Coruscant, care of the old folks home. B. Scramble code 4 to Coruscant immediately. C. Scramble code 9 to Coruscant through C-3PO. D. Scramble code 6 to Coruscant, care of the senior center.
Oh, shit. It's. You know what? I thought it was A because I think it has something. It says something about older people, and it never made sense to me. I think it's actually A. I was going to say, what's the freaking phone commercial with James Earl Jones in it? Because that would be ironic. With James Earl, yeah, it would be Sprint would be ironic because the Vader thing. Yeah. I think it's A, the old folks home thing. That's because it's such an obscure thing to say. It never made sense to me. So I guess the old folks home is a slang term that transcends galaxies. Plus the fact that it's like Yoda's the only old one on the console. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into that one either. That's another discussion. Mm-hmm. Slang. Episode 272, slang will be that episode subject. Star Wars slang. Okay. All right, we're into our last character clip here. And let me show you the picture of this lovely, lovely lady. Yes, there's an action figure of her on my wall.
Yarna, don't ask why we have an action figure of her on the wall.
I won that. I worked hard to get that action figure. That was my prize for winning trivia that Dave got me.
Oh, okay.
That was, yes.
Yarnal Dahlgarn.
Close enough. Close enough. Okay, so she is the six-breasted, that's right, dancer from Jabba's Palace in Return of the Jedi. And here is, I don't even have a note what this is about. I'm going to guess it's about her six breasts, if that's why I wrote it. So this is from episode 60 about Yarna Dahlgargan.
She, you know, she became a model and was managed by this guy, Dolan. She actually, this is where I almost crumbled the whole thing up. She appeared as a dancer at the marriage of Han Solo and Leia.
Why would you need a dancer at the marriage of Han Solo and Princess Leia?
Well, because she needed someone to dance the dance of the 70 violet veils.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's a lot of veils.
I was going to say, three of us are married. Did any of us have professional dancers at our wedding?
I wish I did have.
This was actually, the marriage of Han and Leia was actually rumored to be the ending of Jedi. They were going to end the movie with this. And I think they didn't say. You mean
dancing? No, they ended it with Lando dancing.
they were gonna film this and end the movie with it, and it was. I mean, it's been written about in some book. It was Han and Leia getting married. Mon Mothma actually officiated the marriage. C-3PO was the ring bearer.
He just pulled a bolt off his finger and said, "Put that on her."
And Luke was the best man, of course.
Oh yeah. Wait, not Chewbacca?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
No medal, no best man. Christ.
And, you know, she went on to live a new life, and she had more cubs, and she actually named her cubs Luca and Leia Nautag.
Hmm. Now, you're missing what she modeled. Did you see what she modeled?
She modeled some kind of bedazzled something or other. I don't remember what it is now.
Jeweled brassieres. She was an underwear model. She was a Victoria's Secret underwear model.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that looking at Wikipedia that brassieres actually has a freaking link to explain what the hell it is.
Yeah. It's a piece of underwear generally worn by females designed to support the breasts.
That is freaking hilarious. Wow.
The guys that are trolling around on Wikipedia aren't really probably seeing too many of those.
You're probably right, yeah.
So.
I clicked the link.
Luca and Leia got together and formed a very popular jizz band.
I bet they did.
God.
And that's all that anybody's ever come up with good old Yarna. But
I want to see behind the scenes special effects of how they created the six titties.
I don't think they created much. I think they just strapped them on her full Jafet.
Yeah. They just added extra costuming.
Okay.
I don't think
Chris is all upset. Oh. Speaking of Wikipedia in that clip, we recently set up a poll for people to kind of tell us what they like about the show, what they don't, what they want to see in future episodes, kind of give us an idea what to do going ahead with Stars and Character and News as projects in the future. And one of the suggestions someone said was to explain the inside joke about what we mean when we say nonsense when talking about Wikipedia. So I'm actually going to take this opportunity to explain that. It wasn't really an inside joke. We explained it on our Facebook page a couple times, but if you're not on Facebook, you haven't read the story. So, and in fact, I don't even think you know this story.
No.
Oh, we'll find out. I'm about to tell you. So someone had set up a very detailed page on Wikipedia about Stars and Character. They had listed all the episodes with the characters' names and did the internal links to the pages, you know, the way a wiki is supposed to be laid out. Even put in some, you know, common knowledge information about the four of us, you know, and how we're recording, how long we've been doing the show and the other shows we do. Really, really detailed and nicely done. It wasn't just haphazardly thrown together. Well, within hours of me learning about it, I mean, within hours, it was taken down. And when you take down a page in this, it's on the Wikia site where you can do all kinds of wikis. They when you go to a dead link, there's a little bit of an explanation saying this page was taken down. And I guess in Wikipedia settings, they can type in why it was taken down. So when you clicked on the Star Wars and Character page for Wikipedia, it said this page has been removed. And then reason, it was one word. It said nonsense.
Get out of there.
I swear to God, it said nonsense. So that's what, when we mention Wikipedia and it's something silly or ridiculous or worth commenting, we'll say it's nonsense or whatever. We'll just, yeah, that's where the nonsense comes from. So
wow.
If you were the person that asked that, or if you were someone wondering what that meant, that's what it meant.
Nonsense.
So, nonsense. Yes. Well, that is it for this edition of the Best of Stars and Character. Are you even closer to being the biggest Star Wars and Character fan than you were last time?
Wait, was the goal to make me the biggest Star Wars and Character
are
fan?
Are you a bigger fan then? How's that?
No, there was a lot of prequel stuff on this.
Okay, that's true. Are you a big Attack of the Clone fans now? Do you hate it more than you did before?
I think I hate it more.
All right, we accomplished
something. I didn't think I could.
Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank everyone that listened and or watched this special Best Of episode. We'll be back with regular episodes as soon as we can. I think we're getting close to being able to schedule those. But to follow our progress on that, check out the NeoZaz Update show. That'll probably be the first place it's actually reported. And that, again, that's at youtube.com/NeoZaz. You can also follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/StarWarsInCharacter, where we give... we'll probably give updates about upcoming episodes there, especially what character is coming next. And you can also leave us a voicemail. We haven't asked for voicemails in a while, and now's a good a time as any. If you want to leave us a message, if you want to ask us a question, if you want to leave a comment, tell us something about the show, or maybe even something about Star Wars or one of the characters that we missed, feel free to call our voicemail system. It is 323-989-2157, and you can leave us a message there. We'll most likely play it on the show. The only times we really don't play it is when there's a technical issue and the voicemail doesn't come through. So if you leave us a message, we will be very happy to share it on the show. So now that's finally it. Again, thanks to everyone that listened, and thanks to everyone that watched, and we'll see you on the next episode of Star Wars in Character.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.com. www.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in character episodes and information.